third reading of Parshas Re'eh, just in the beginning of a new chapter, the Torah begins to talk to us about false prophets, people we shouldn't be listening to. And from there, the Torah moves into telling us how we should be. We should be godlike. What does this all mean? Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13. Pasuk Beis, the second verse, Ki Yakum Bikirbucha, Novi Echelim. When there is a prophet or a dreamer, Cholim Chaloim V'Nesen Lecha Eisum Efes, he's a dreamer and he gives you a sign, in other words, a miracle with regard to something occurring in the heavens or some kind of marvel which refers to something that occurs on earth. As Rashi says, V'Nesen Lecha Eis, he gives you a sign, then or a meifes, he gives you a sign or a marvel. Bashamayim, the ice is in the heavens. Ki inyan shenemar, like it says about Gidon in the book of Judges, ve'asisa li ice. So Gidon asks from the angel who speaks to him, do a miracle for me to prove that you are actually going to help the Jewish people. And indeed, there is dew that falls from the heavens. Ve'omer, and he says there, Yehino Chirev al Hagiza. He says that let the wool, which Gidon places in the granary area, let that remain dry. And that would be a sign that the dew that came from heaven was selective, which is of course impossible, unless a miracle is happening. Or a Meifis, Rashi says, this would be Ba'aretz, something that would happen on earth. The Nasan Lecha Eis, he gives a sign for you. So, Bashamayim, this is in the heavens, the Chesiv is, it's written, V'hayola Eiseis Ulamayadim, in the beginning of the book of Genesis. There in the 14th verse, the Torah speaks to us about the heavenly bodies set in their orbs, and that this is a sign for how we tell time. Or a Meifes, how do we know this is Baritz, the Chesiv? Here, Rashi once again invokes that pasuk from the book of Judges. Im tal yia al hagiza, levada v'kala aretz chayriv. If the wool will be wet, but the rest of the land will be dry. So here we have a person who can make miracles happen. He can show you wonders. This is not a regular person. Wonders in heaven or wonders on the earth. So what should I do? Should I listen to him? So the Torah says that despite the fact that he may do something, as Rashi tells us, Afal Pikein Lisishmalei, do not listen to him. And if you'll say, Mipimimimimim Nesin LaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why does God give him dominion to be able to make miracles like this? And this we're going to read later on, in two verses from now, that this is because ki minasa Hashem alekechem eschem. The Lord God, he tests you. Let's go to verse 3. The miracle, the marvel, the wonder happens, asher dibir alecho. And then he says, neilcho, let us go. Achare elohim achedim, let us go worship foreign deities, foreign gods. Ashalo yadatem, which you have not known. V'na ovdem, and we will worship them. The Torah says, Le sishmael divri anove ahu. Do not listen to that prophet. Oy el chayla machaloy mor, to that dreamer who has these dreams, ahu, this visionary. Ki menasa Hashem alekechem eschem. This is just God testing you. Ladas, to know. Hayeshchem oyevim es Hashem. Do you love God alekechem? B'chol levavchem, with all your hearts. U'b'chol nafshechem, and with all your souls. So what should you do instead? Don't listen to that guy. He's trouble. Even though he makes miracles and marvels and wonders, but he's telling you to go against the Torah of Moshe. He's telling you to worship idols. That's never okay. It doesn't matter how many miracles a person does. If somebody tells us to worship another god, we never listen to him. You know, we learned already in this parsha, that and last week's parsha mentioned it too, that if a Navi were to tell us to do something which violates the Torah, as long as he says it's temporary, so then we have to listen to him. And the prime example of this is Eliyahu Navi and Har HaKarmel, who told us to bring an offering, a korban, outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to do that. And yet we do it. Why? Because Eliyahu Navi said to. But if Eliyahu Navi would say, from now on, there is no more Yerushalayim, or there is no Beis HaMikdash, then we know he's not Eliyahu Navi. Or, if a prophet says, worship a foreign deity, even once, even today, even this hour, then automatically reject him. But he did miracles. Maybe he walked on the water. Maybe he jumped into the heavens. All right. I don't know how he did that.
So why is he calling such a person a Navi?
Why? Because you call him a Navi.
I don't call him Nevi. It says in the Torah.
He has all the trappings. He's talking about the future, and he does miracles, and he does wonders. But he tells you to go against Hashem. So he said, if you worship a god other than the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you worship a foreign deity, reject him. Instead, what should you do? And this is the rejoinder instead, verse 5, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Follow the Lord your God. Go after him. Ve'osei tiro, it is him you shall revere. Ve'es v'tzveisov tishmeru, and you'll do his mitzvahs. Uve'koylois ishmo, and his voice you'll listen to. Ve'osei sa'avaydu, and him you will worship. Uvoi sidbakun, and to him you will cleave. In other words, to God and God alone. Now this verse tells us a lot of things. Number one, Teilechu. When it comes to the notion of God, we have to go after God. And then it says, Eisai Tiro. It says not only we should go after God, but we're also supposed to revere him. And then it says not only we should go after God, but we should revere him. The pasuk goes on to say, Vitzvesev Tishmeru, we gotta keep his mitzvahs. And if that's not enough, Bekoyle Tishmu, keep his mitzvahs, listen to his voice. And if that's not enough, and him you should worship. And then, if it's not enough to say, go after him, revere him, keep his mitzvahs, listen to his voice, and him you should serve. It's five things already. It's five things Hashem says, don't listen to that guy, do these things only for Hashem. And then the Torah adds a sixth detail, uvoi sidbakun, and to him you shall cleave. And then the verse goes on to say, and to that prophet who made all these claims and the things that he told you to do and so on and so forth, you reject him out of hand and you don't follow him. All right, so let's take a look in Rashi and find out what are these five things. Number one, es vitzveisav tishmeru, you should keep his mitzvahs. Follow God. All right, I'm ready to follow God. What do you want me to do? The first thing is you should revere God. And then I should keep his mitzvahs. So Rashi says, what does it mean to keep his mitzvahs? Teiras Moshe, that you have to keep the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. There are lots of people in these days that want to follow God. They're interested in spirituality. They want to be holy. They want to be spiritually minded. They want to be engaged on a higher level. They're looking for deeper consciousness. All kinds of things. Don't tell me mitzvahs. Don't tell me about the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu said. I have mitzvahs of love and mitzvahs of togetherness and mitzvahs of friendship and mitzvahs of watching sunsets and mitzvahs of hugging trees. These are my mitzvahs. These are my mitzvahs. This makes me feel good. This elevates me. This puts me close to Hashem. So the Torah comes along and says, it's not good enough to go after God. And it's not even good enough to revere God. It's instead, it's got to be, es mitzvei sov tishmeru. Follow Torah's Mesha. 613, not 614 commandments. There's exactly mitzvahs you're supposed to do. Those are the mitzvahs you got to do. You got to listen to God on God's terms. The guy says, okay, fine. I'll listen to God in God's terms. I'll do the mitzvahs Moshe Rabbeinu told us. He said, no, it's not enough. U'bekoyle tishmo. Who's koyloi? This is bekoyle hanaviyim. This is to the voice of the prophets. So the person says, I listen to the mitzvahs of Torah, but don't give me this rabbinical mumbo jumbo. Don't tell me stories that rabbis tell you and prophets tell you. No. You have to listen to Hashem's Torah, the way it comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. U'bekoyle tishmo. Listen to the words of the prophets. V'isei sa'avaydu. Him you should worship. What does this mean? Rashi says this is about location. The Mikdash. You have to worship Hashem in his Beis HaMikdash. You cannot reject the centrality of Yerushalayim. You cannot say Judaism is a religion that has nothing to do with geography. I want to be holy and I want to be spiritual, but I don't want to hear about Israel. I don't want to hear about Yerushalayim. Don't tell me about the Beis HaMikdash. How could God be stuck in one place, not the other place? I worship God wherever I please. I said, no, my friend. You always have to be Jerusalem-centric. And ultimately, the best and the most prime way for us to serve Hashem is in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. All right, so I'm ready to do all these things. I'm following God. I'm going to revere him. I'm doing the mitzvahs in the Torah. I'm listening to the prophets. I have not forgotten about Jerusalem. Now what do you want from me? Now Beis HaBakon. Now you have to cleave to God. So what does this mean? What does it mean to cleave to God? Rashi says, and how could you cleave to God anyway? So Rashi says, he dobeg bidrochav. Cleave to his ways. What's his ways? What's Hashem's ways? Cleave to his ways actually means to be godlike. What does it mean to be like God? To be like God means gemel chasadim. You should dispense kindness. Kvar mesim. You should bury the dead. Bakir choylim. You should visit the sick. Kemoisha asak kadosh baruch hu. Like God did all of these things. You should do these things too. And what about the prophet who spoke all those things? The prophet told you to do those things. Torah says, "Va'anovi ahu, ve'achelam achelam ahu." Or this prophet and this dreamer, you must. He actually forfeits his life. Kidiber sada el Hashem, because he has spoken against God. Hametzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt, and so on and so forth. And he wants to turn you off the way to get you to follow a path of evil. So we're going to analyze this business of being like God and cleaving to God, especially because this is not the first time it shows up in the Torah. This business of a Beis Bakum, it's not the first time. But Rashi explained it very different previously. Let's open up to page Kufayin Zayin in the Birim book. And here, Rebbe asks two very powerful questions about the words we just read in Rashi. Kufayin Zayin Simen Yud Ches. This is the 18th entry in Parsha Se. Rebbe says, Yesh Lishol, it's reasonable to ask about this Rashi, two little details. Number one, Hatzivoy Lidbeik Bekutche Bricho, the commandment for us to cleave unto God, Moifia Kvar Leil, already shows up. Where does it show up? Last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha. In Parsha's Ekev. In Parsha's Ekev, over there in the 10th chapter, it says, Uboi Sidbok. Here it says Sidbakun, there it says Sidbok. Same thing. And over there, guess what Rashi said? When it says Uboi Sidbok. You know what Rashi said? He said nothing. He said nothing. Uboi Sidbok. Didn't say anything. Shamlo Pirish Rashi Davar. So the Rebbe asks, if Rashi didn't say anything there, Madua Ferei Rashi Tzerich Lafarish Bitu Zekan. The ones you have to explain it here. If cleave to God is obvious, it's easy to understand, okay, then cleave to God. He said, what does it mean, cleave to God? Cleave to God! Okay, I'll cleave to God. If Rashi didn't have to say anything in Parshas Ekev, why did he have to say something in Parshas Re? That's question one. Question two. You know that Rashi doesn't make up his own ideas. All the things that Rashi will speak of have already been mentioned, either in the Gemara, or in the Medrash, or in the Mechilta Sefer HaSifri. It's taken from the words of our sages. It's just that Rashi arranges the words of our sages and sews together a tapestry which is called Pshuta Shel Mikra, the simplest and most straightforward understanding. So these words, the words that Rashi just told us here about Ubay Sid Bakun, which by the way does not necessitate Rashi's comment, because there are a lot of things the Gemara says that Rashi doesn't quote. But the words that Rashi does mention here, Ubay Sid Bakun, these words come from the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Masechet Sota. The Gemara Masechet Sota on page 14 says like this, which is the marker, that's the source. Nobody argues that the source for Rashi's words here are in the Gemara Masechet Sota. Over there, there's one more little detail. The Gemara says, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malbish Arumim. God clothes the naked. Avata Halbish Arumim. You should also clothe the homeless. People who are naked, they don't have clothes. You should give them clothes. Rashi doesn't say anything. Madua in Rashi Maske Gam Pratze. Why does Rashi only mention? He mentions the business of being kind. He mentions the mortuary. He mentions the visits to the sick. He doesn't mention the Lord and Taylor. Why not? Should mention it. The Gemara mentions it. The Gemara says that God provided clothes. So if God provided clothes, why wouldn't Rashi mention it? That is, after all, a basic need, a basic thing we could do for others when they don't have clothes. We give them clothes. If that makes me God-like, Rashi should have mentioned that too. Okay? So with these two questions in mind, now we come to a third question. In the Gemara, in Maseches Sota, Mevois Hechaches Me'aksuvim, there are actually verses that are quoted to back this up. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Osak BePeulei Seila, that God engaged in these particular activities. For example, the Gemara says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Biker Chaylim, God visited the sick. How do we know God visited the sick? Exactly. It says it with Avraham Avinu. Vayera Elav Havaya Beilene Mamre. God appeared to Avraham in the plains of Mamre. Every child knows this. The story of God coming to visit Avraham after his milah. So you know, God visits the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kvar Mesim. God buries the dead. How do we know this? The Gemara says, what do you mean? Who buried Moses? It says, Vayikbar Oise Begai. He buried him right there in the mountain. So we know God buried Moshe. So if God buried Moshe, we should bury the dead too. Amnon, Yitachan shirashi and itzarech letzayin es haraya lekach shakadosh baruch hu biker chelim. Maybe you'll say, Rashi didn't have to tell you about God visiting the sick. Do you know why Rashi didn't have to tell you? Who's Rashi talking to? In his commentary, who's he talking to? To people who opened the Chumash to Parsha Se'e for the first time? No. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the student. In fact, he's talking to the five-year-old student. Ben Chumash LeMikra. The five-year-old student does not learn Parsha Shavua. The five-year-old student learns the Chumash in order. In order that he should be reading the Ramas. So where does he start from? He begins the Chumash from Bereshis. And where does he learn until? The Zaysa Bracha. So we have a rule. Rashi never mentions things that he mentioned previously. He expects the student to remember. If he spoke about it in the book of Genesis, or the book of Exodus, or the book of Leviticus, or Numbers, and then it shows up in Deuteronomy, what will Rashi say? No. Nothing. No. Why not? I already told you. In fact, we read 2 weeks ago, Aseret HaDibrot, the proverbial Ten Commandments. Rashi had lots to say about that in the book of Exodus. What does he say about it in the book of Deuteronomy? You know what he says? I told you already. I told you already. You don't remember what I said? Go back to Exodus and look there. Rashi was not trying to make a thick book. He didn't just write things again. There's no repetition. The child remembers very well Parshas Vayera, or should. It's the beginning of a Torah portion. How did the Torah portion start off? With God visiting the sick. It's not a nuance. It's not a detail. It's open in the scripture. So Rashi wouldn't have to mention that. But has the child learned about the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu yet? The answer is no. Where does that show up? It shows up the end of Deuteronomy. And now the child is still relatively in the beginning of Deuteronomy. So the child never heard of that. Okay, so at least that, Rashi should have said. God buries the dead. How do you know? Well, you haven't seen this yet, but this is what it's going to say. So in other words, the Rebbe says the big question is not on the lack of quotation, the lack of sourcing the concept of visiting the sick, because that was obvious. What's really missing here is the source for the concept of burying the dead. Okay, listen to this, my friends. That's such a beautiful, illuminated way of explaining this Rashi. So Habir was said, the explanation is like this. This commandment that we should cleave unto God. Kishala atzma, in and of itself. Einiton pirish miyuchad. Does not require elucidation. Why doesn't it require elucidation? Shekein mashma'usa shel dveikos, because the meaning of cleaving, bahakesha zehi ahava. The meaning of cleaving means love. Ugevisha metzino bekasav. We find this in the pasuk, and the child has already learned it. Only the last time it wasn't love, it was more lust. And that was, it says, that there was a fellow named Chamor and Shrem. Tell this guy he can join us. It says, "Batidbak nafshei bedina bas Yaakov." Chamor, the son of Shechem, a real donkey, and he cleaved to Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. And then the Torah explains, "Vayev esanara." He loved the girl. So first he raped her. Then he said, "I want to marry you. I want you to be mine." So then it says here, "Cleave to God." You know what cleaving means? We know what it means. We already have a precedent for cleaving. What does cleaving mean? Cleaving means cleaving. Cleaving means to be at one with somebody. So it says cleave to God. Okay, it says cleave to God. What does it mean? To love God, to be close to God, to feel at one communion with God. Well, how would you do that? How would you do that? You do things God wants you to do. So maybe mitzvahs. Maybe study of Torah, right? Hakesher Akushi Meseira, the real question begins, Dafke Pasuk Zeh, only in this Pasuk. Mikach Shehatzivoi, because we get a commandment, Ubeisid Bakun, and this commandment that we got, Ubeisid Bakun, did not show up in isolation. It didn't come in a silo. It's the end of a verse. What does the verse speak about prior to the command, you should cleave to him? Allow me to remind you. This is the sixth thing you should do in the Torah. This verse talks about no less than six different items. Right? What did it say? It said, you should follow the Lord your God. That's one. Number two, it said you should revere him. Number three, it said you should keep his mitzvahs. Number three, it said you should listen to his voice, which Rashi explains means the prophets. Number five, it says you should serve him. Rashi explained it means location, geography, Yerushalayim. Number six, Ubeisid Bakum. So what's the question? The question is, I don't understand this. I know what Ubeisid Bakum means. I know what it means to cleave to God. However, if I'm already keeping the mitzvahs, I'm already revering him, I'm already listening to his voice, I'm already going to Yerushalayim, so what do you want me to do besides that? What did you want me to do that you haven't already told me to do? You told me to do all the mitzvahs. You told me to revere him. You told me to follow him. You told me to do to be in his base on Mikdash. What else am I supposed to do? Oh, Ubeisid Bakum. Now cleave to him. What do you want me to do? I'm doing all these things, which I would imagine would be the concept of cleaving. So what exactly is God asking me here? It seems in verse 5 of chapter 13 in Deuteronomy that the Ubeisid Bakum is asking you for something else. You can't say it means ahava. Well, you already said it means love. We already interpreted that right away. Achad Hashem Elokeichem Tilechu. What does it mean? We said right away, you should love God. To do with love. So you already love God. You're already following God. You're already revering God. You're doing all these things already. In verse 4, it already said to love God. In verse 5, it says you should revere God. So what is the Torah asking me to do? And therefore, Rashi here is required to elucidate. Here he has to comment. Earlier in Parshas Ekev, he didn't have to comment. Because Ubeisid Bakum is just a thing, Ubeisid Savaydu, him you should worship. Do his mitzvahs. And then the pasuk that says you should cleave to God. Fine. These are different expressions of how I cleave to God. Cleave to God through mitzvahs, cleave to God through Torah, cleave to God by revering him, cleave to God by coming to Yerushalayim. There's all these different things I cleave to God with. But in Parshas Riei, we're here, there shows up a verse, a pasuk, that goes through a litany of Avedis Hashem. No less than 5 details are enumerated. And then comes a 6th detail and says, oh, by the way, Ubeisid Bakum. Here I'm left with a big question mark. What in heavens does this mean? What else did you want me to do? Therefore here in Parshas Ra'eh, Rashi has to explain. Shekavonas hadvekus kan, that the meaning of cleaving here is, hidobek bidrochav, cleave to his ways. Be like God. You know this stuff that's been showing up on Facebook? Be like this guy, be like that guy. So-and-so does this, be like Peter, be like Henry. You know what I'm talking about? No? There's these things that people who do good things, and then it says, be like this guy. That parlance, that's also from the Torah. Because in the Torah it says, be like God. It doesn't be like a person, be like God. And what does it mean to be like God? You should cleave to his ways. That's how you be like God. Cleave to his ways, you'll be like God. What's God's ways? So here the issue is, if it's mitzvahs, we already talked about that. If it's Yiras Hashem, we already talked about that. If it's Yerushalayim, we already talked about that. If it's love of God, we already talked about that. If it's following the prophets, we already talked about that. So what else are you telling me? What else should I do? How should I be like God? And that's why Rashi has to say, you know what it means? It means be a chassid. It means go beyond the letter of the law. It means go beyond the calling of duty. And therefore, drachim she'ein chayva gemura. These are ways which are not obligatory. Things which are not mandatory. You don't have to cleave to them. Baker chaylam. You have to go and visit the sick. Why do I have to go visit the sick for? If the person's dying and I'm a medical practitioner, I have a mitzvah of saving his life. If he's dying without visitors, I have to go visit him. I have to pick up his spirits. But if so, then it's a mandatory thing. But this guy doesn't need a visitor. He's not gonna die if I don't visit him. There's still a mitzvah to visit him. Why? Why should I visit him for? So he's sick. Call me when you're better. I have to go visit you for. Gamba matzav shabaya davar eini chiyuni. Even when it's not an issue of life and death, even when it doesn't have to be. Shekein yesh l'chaylo mavakrim achedim. He's got other visitors too. I got a visit. He got other visitors. He's got family. He's got closer friends. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevaker Avraham Avinu. Did Avraham have no visitors? He had to have visitors. Avraham was a very popular guy. First of all, he's married. He had a very loving wife who took care of him. Her name was Sarah. I'm sure she was there doting on him. Secondly, Avraham had many, many good friends. He had friends who helped him even make this decision. Einar Eshkol and Mamre. I'm sure they came to visit him. We say it was in their plains. It was in their area. So for sure, Enel Eshkel Mamrekim. And what about all the people that he inspired? What about all the people whose lives Avraham Avinu touched? Nobody came to visit him? For sure they did. But despite this all, who else came? God came to visit him. Did Hashem need to come visit him? Did Avraham need that visit? The answer is no. And yet, God came to visit Avraham anyway. Be like God. So-and-so is God's visitors. That's true. You should still go visit him. Why? Be like God. And the same thing is also true with Kver Mason. The same thing is true with burying the dead. A person will say, do I need to go to the funeral? Well, you don't need to go. There are people going. Do I need to pick up a shovel? No, there are other people who can do it. What should you do? Pick up that shovel. Help bury the person. And now we can understand, the Rebbe says, why Rashi does not bring the pasuk by Yikbar Eisu Begai. Why Rashi doesn't bring the verse in which the Torah describes God burying Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you know why? Listen to this. Because the Rebbe says a huge chiddush, a huge novelty. All the Mepharshim quote that pasuk. But then the question, if they're quoting that pasuk, why wouldn't Rashi quote that pasuk? The Rebbe says, Kavanas Rashi, Einu L'Kvuras Moshe. The burial here is not referring to the burial of Moshe. And do you know what the proof is? Shari Kvuras Moshe Lehoisi Yechel Leyosei De'achir. Who else could have buried Moshe? Who else?
Joshua.
It can't be. You know why it can't be? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's resting site was destined to remain a mystery. It says, Le'yoda ish es kvurase. If one man would bury him, he would know. And if he knows, somebody else will find out too. God says, Le'yoda ish es kvurase. Im Cain, huh? What's the reason? There are a variety of reasons. Part of it, they shouldn't make the grave of Moshe into a deity. The imkeno ya Moshe bebechinas meis mitzvah. Moshe is a meis mitzvah. If there is a corpse, achmana litzlan, and nobody to bury it, is it an act of piety when you go bury it, or is it obligatory?
It's obligatory.
You have to do that. Why? It's in the mes mitzvah. A mes mitzvah means if you're a kohen, you have to do it. If you're a kohen gadol, you have to do it. But who else is going to do it? So where do we see? Where do we see that God actually went and buried the dead? You know where we see this, the Rebbe says? By the kavura, by the burial of Aaron. It says, Sham meis Aaron, Aaron died, vayikover Sham. And from the verses we can derive that who did it? That God must have done it. But it doesn't say it open in the verse that God did it. How do we know God did it? Well, who else would have done it? Who else buried Aaron? If you'll tell me Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell you Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't bury Aaron because Moshe Rabbeinu was once a Kohen Gadol. Can't become defiled by the dead. Who else could have buried Aaron? His son Elazar? Elazar just became the Kohen Gadol. He couldn't do it. So you'll say, what do you mean? Mes mitzvah. No, it's not. There's a whole Jewish people right in the bottom of the mountain. Just go down the mountain and say, guys, sorry to inform you. Bad news. Aaron's passed. He needs to be buried now. That didn't happen. How do we know that? Because it says the people said, where's Aaron? Moshe said, he died. They said, Aaron died? Impossible. The man who stood against the angel of death, he couldn't die. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a simple thing. Go look at his body. Go bury him. Instead, what happened? Instead, it says there was imagery in heaven. If there was imagery in heaven, that means nobody saw his body. If nobody saw his body, who buried him? So we can only figure out it must be who buried him. It must be God. But Rashi can't quote the verse because the verse doesn't openly say God did it. You have to figure it out. So therefore, be like God. Go ahead and make sure the concept of burial takes place even when it's not actually required of you. This is the reason that Rashi doesn't mention the business of Lord and Taylor. Because when was the Lord and Taylor opened? When? Who did God dress? Adam and Chava. Who was supposed to dress them? These poor people were naked. They didn't have anywhere else to go shopping. So of course God made them clothes. So that's not going beyond the call of duty. That is the call of duty. And Rashi only mentions beyond the call of duty because you already said listen to him and you already said do his mitzvahs and you already said revere Yerushalayim. You said all the things. This is number 6 of the verse. Over here, there's nothing else to mention other than be like God. And how do we be like God? When we live piously. What does it mean to be pious? Pious means to go beyond the call of duty. That means to be a chassid. So be a chassid, be like God, go beyond the call of duty. And when the yid does that, then ultimately he's rejecting idols and he's following the ways of Hashem in the truest sense.